na ram chai ba na ro chamam deving sarasatim yasam tato jayam adhiriyat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of God, it is worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third canto, chapter 3. Text should be 20. Snigdha Smitavalokena Vacha Piyusha Kolpaya Charitrena Navajena Sri Niketena Chatmana Snigdha Smitavalokena Vacha Piyusha Kolpaya Charitrena Navajena Shriniketena Chatmana Snigdha Smita Valokena Vacha Piyusha Kolpaya Charitrena Navajena Shriniketena Chatmana Snigdha Smita Valokena Vacha Piyusha Kolpaya Charitrena Navajena Shriniketena Chatmana. Please chant. Vigna smita balokena Vacha piyusha kolpaya Charitrena navajena Shriniketena chatmana Snigdha smita balokena Vacha piyusha kolpaya Charitrena Navajena Shriniketena Chatmana Snigdha Smita Valokena Vacha Piyusha Kolpaya Charitrena Navajena Shriniketena Chatmana. Vaishnavis, Snigdha Smita Valokena Vacha Piyusha Kolpaya Charitrena Navajena Shriniketena Chatmana. Okay, synonyms: Snigdha, gentle. Smita Avalokena. By a glance with a sweet smile. Vacha. By words. Piyusha. Kolpaya. Compared to nectar. Charitrena. By character. Anavajena. Without flaw. Shri. Fortune. Niketena. Residence. Cha. And. Atmana. By his transcendental body. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. He was there in his transcendental body, the residence of the goddess of fortune, with his usual gentle and sweetly smiling face, his nectarian words, and his flawless character. Please repeat. He was there in his transcendental body, the residence of the goddess of fortune, with his usual gentle and sweetly smiling face, his nectarian words, and his flawless character. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the previous verse, it is described that Lord Krishna, being situated in the truths of Sankhya philosophy, is detached from all kinds of matter. In the present verse, it is described that he is the residence of the goddess of fortune. These two things are not at all contradictory. Lord Krishna is detached from the variegatedness of the inferior nature, but he is in eternal, blissful enjoyment of the spiritual nature or his internal potency. One who has a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand this distinction between the external and internal potencies. In Bhagavad Gita, the internal potency is described as the Paraprakriti. In the Vishnu Purana also, the internal potency of Vishnu is described as Parashakti. The Lord is never detached from the association of Parashakti. This Parashakti and her manifestations are described in the Brahma Sangita 537 as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratipavitabhihi. The Lord is eternally joyful and cognizant in the taste derived from such transcendental bliss. Negation of the variegatedness of the inferior energy does not necessitate negation of the positive transcendental bliss of the spiritual world. Therefore, the Lord's gentleness, his smile, his character, and everything related to him are all transcendental. Such manifestations of the internal potency are the reality of which the material shadow is only a temporary representation from which everyone with proper knowledge must be detached. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pascha Chadeshtarine. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshara Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Shnapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangscha, Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakam Vatangscha, Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu, Dina Bando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindabaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripasindubhya evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're continuing to hear about the Lord's pastimes out of Vrindavan. So one may say, how is it possible for Krishna to have pastimes out of Vrindavan? Wherever Krishna is, that is Vrindavan. And Krishna is everywhere. Prabhupada alluded to that many times, that yes, you don't have to go running to Vrindavan. If you become Krishna conscious, that means you're with Krishna at every moment, so wherever you are is Vrindavan. And he proved it himself. By coming west, he brought Vrindavan with him. Wherever Prabhupada went, that was Vrindavan, because he was with Krishna at every moment. So the verse is saying, he was there. So that there refers, in this context, to Dwarka. For many, many centuries, people have been doubting about the existence of this Dwarka, this wonderful city that was described in Mahabharata and elsewhere in Vedic literature. Where is this place? And lo and behold, later on they discovered this sunken city off the coast, west coast of India. Because the place that's called Dwarka now on the coast itself obviously doesn't match the description that's in the Vedic literature. But they went out and they discovered that there was this vast city sunken off the coast of India. Just like they did with the Bridge of Ramachandra. They, for many, many centuries, doubted that. What is this stone bridge that was built from India to Lanka? It's just mythology. But lo and behold, from space, they can actually see it. There's a bridge that goes from India to Lanka. It's sunken off the coast of India. So we don't need to wait for these empiric, you know, corroboration of Vedic literature. We accept it as it is. At least we should. Don't waste time waiting for science to corroborate what's stated in the Vedic literature. We just accept it as it is. And what's clearly described in the Vedic literature, especially in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna himself, is that we're all being conducted by three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And he says in the seventh chapter that these modes are actually coming from me. They're manifestations of my energy. But I'm independent of them. We're not independent, you see? We're trying so hard to be independent. Right now, the Ukrainians are fighting for independence from their bullying neighbor who's trying to overrun them out of envy and greed. Everybody there is under the control of the modes of nature. Some are in goodness, so they see that it's being hellish. Well, who are you to come and try to take over our country? We'll fight you. Other people are in passion. Other people are in ignorance. I don't care. I have the strength of arms, so I can do what I want. Online, I was in a forum. Some guy was saying that, you know, Mr. Putin actually has no vulnerabilities. And I wrote back, I said, no, you're wrong. He's human. He has one fatal flaw. He's going to die like everybody else. You see, all his arms that he's flouting right now and threatening to push the nuclear button will not save him from his own death. And foolish people can't see that. They can't see that I am going to die. No matter how many people I kill in the name of enmity and greed and whatnot, I myself am going to die. So the Vedic canon is asatomam sat gamaha. Don't stay in this asat. Don't try to enjoy this asat. Everything here is temporary. Everything. So we're trying to enjoy our own bodies and the bodies of others and the material nature. It's all temporary. And therefore, those who are intelligent, yehi sangsparshita bhoga, dukkha yonaya evate, ajyantamata kante, nateshu ramate buddha. This is in the fifth chapter, towards the end. Krishna is pointing out that yehi sangsparshita bhoga, those who are intelligent, they have some intelligence, they can see that it doesn't make sense chasing after happiness in this temporary material world. Why? Because they have some inkling that they are eternal. Without that, people don't get it. And this is a problem. That's why Prabhupada said these communists are like the worst form of leadership, because they're atheists, they're godless, and they don't see any ramifications to the evil things that they do. They think as long as I stay strong and I'm surrounded by my army and I have my nuclear weapons and I have this and money, billions of dollars in the bank, I'm cool, I'm good. No, but these are false soldiers, fallible soldiers. They can't protect you from cruel death. And therefore Krishna says, if you don't surrender to me voluntarily, mrityu sarva harasharham, I'm going to appear before you in the form of death. You may have killed so many people in your lifetime, and you know, but you yourself are going to die. You cannot protect yourself from that. This is what you should be endeavoring to do. Is there a way that I can avoid my own death? Instead of simply planning how to kill others, plan how to save yourself from death. Plan how to save yourself from death. So here it's being described, Krishna's situation in Dwarka. Snigdha. He's manifesting his eternal, beautiful form. Smita Balokena, beautiful smile. Who doesn't appreciate a beautiful smile? If you go online and look up Kirtan in Kiev before this war started. So I have myself personally have a YouTube channel where I've been there many times and I've posted videos of these thousands of Ukrainian and other devotees chanting, smiling happily. And this is what attracts the public. If you see devotees hundreds of devotees marching beautifully, beautifully decorated faces, dressed nicely, playing mridanga kartals. It's attractive. And so people, before the kirtan party comes, you'll see many times they're window shopping and looking for this. And as soon as the Hare Krishna party comes along, they forget all that. They take out their cameras, they're taking pictures, taking videos, because the devotees are attractive. Why are the devotees attractive? Because they're carrying Krishna. It's not that we ourselves are attractive. What's attractive about this material body? It's a bag of skin and bone and just like any other material body out there. But because we are following and trying to please Krishna by taking to the Yuga Dharma, putting on the tilak, wearing the Kanti Mala, dressing like Prabhupada wanted us to dress, and chanting above all, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. This mantra is none different from Krishna. And therefore, if we chant sincerely, it invokes Krishna's presence, and people can feel that. Before the party comes along, they're molded out, as we say. They're simply in these three modes, combination. Some are more in goodness, some are more in passion, some are, most in, nowadays are in ignorance. Simply on the bodily platform, making distinctions based on the body. If I can make my body stronger than yours, which is real foolish nowadays, because there are more guns in America than people. So you may be a big bad guy. I've seen a big bad guy jumps out of his car, road rage, and some little guy pulls out the gun. Oh, no, you want it? He has to jump back in his car and leave. So being a big bad guy or girl in this modern world is just foolish. Surrender to Krishna and try to take Krishna's protection. I'm just a night owl anyway, but last night I was up after midnight corresponding with one devotee in Ukraine, because our midnight is 9 a.m. over there already. So, and I asked him, how are things going? He said, well, the deities have been taken away, spirited away. I don't know if they took them out of the country or just hid them somewhere. But unfortunately, not all the devotees are safe. You know, some devotees have been injured already. You know, so you may wonder, why? Why would Krishna allow this? So we just have to, like we've discussed this many times, like in the case of Prahlad or Hiranyakashipu and other big demons, why would Krishna allow them to harm people? Why not immediately come and chop their heads off? Why wait till... So this is Krishna's, part of Krishna's unfolding of what he does. We cannot second-guess Krishna. You know, this is why people lose faith. Because if there is a God and God is all-powerful, why doesn't he come right now and just release his chakra and cut up all the Russian troops and let them leave the Ukrainians alone? Because we're seeing, again, innocent versus non-innocent. But nobody in this world is innocent. Everybody's here for a reason, because they're criminal. Prabhupada repeat that many times. They're all criminal. Anybody who doesn't surrender to Krishna is a criminal. A thief. Krishna says, Tena eva sa uchate. If you're trying to enjoy my energy without surrendering to me, then you're a thief. You think you're independent, but you cannot be independent even of oxygen for a few seconds, a few minutes. I think the world record for one breath, and they prove it by going underwater, people free dive, take a breath and go under and go deep and then come back up. I think the world record is about 5 minutes, somewhere close to that. But still not independent. So for 5 minutes you can go without breathing, but after that you gotta breathe. So we're not independent. We are dependent on oxygen for keeping these bodies alive. And just because you can't see the oxygen doesn't mean it's not vital. So similarly, just because you can't see God doesn't mean he's not the vital substrate upholder of all existence. You know, we shouldn't be so foolish. The atheists, you know, again, they take something like this, like war, to further atheism. You know, if there is a God, how is he allowing children to die and, you know, like that? Why doesn't he come and save everybody? God is not our order supplier. And that's why the first thing he tells us in the Bhagavad Gita is that you are eternal. You're not this body. Don't make your decisions based just on this bodily concept of life. Try to understand that you're eternal and plan for eternal emancipation, eternal freedom, not fighting. Yes, it's nice they're fighting for their freedom. They should stand up. Bullies should be stood up to. Otherwise, the whole world will be over. Just imagine, Kali Yuga lasts for 432,000 years. And we're only a little more than 5,000 years in. Look at the planet already. Look at what's going on. Horrible wars. I mean, this now is in the public eye, but there have been wars going on all over this planet, continually, practically. This whole Europe is a history of nothing but war. This whole Soviet Union, the Russian country, which is the biggest country in the world, by the way, was forged out of war after war after war. Fratricidal war. Not that they went to Africa to fight somebody to get, no. Fratricidal war. If you look at the history, some king would die and leave five sons. And the five sons couldn't get along. They fought amongst each other until one became the dominant one. Killed his brothers. You see? This is how this land was established. It's soaked with blood. So we can't be disturbed and surprised that there's a bloody war going on right now. It's always been going on. It's always been going on. It's not something new. The entire continent of Europe was carved out of blood. You know? Again, fratricidal war to become the king, or religious wars, Catholic against Protestant. And it's not about what you look like. Again, because you can't tell a Ukrainian from a Russian. There's one video on YouTube where they captured one Russian soldier and he was saying that. I don't know who to shoot at. Everybody looks the same. So it's not about, you know, people make it nowadays about race and class and this and that. No, it's about being in the modes of nature and not realizing that the modes of nature, I liken it when I speak in colleges so they can get an understanding. It's like tuning into a particular radio station. You make the choice. You tune into the classical station and then you hear, you know, sonatas and, you know, concertos and whatnot, and puts you in a particular mood. Somebody else tunes in voluntarily to the pop music station, you know, and they get a certain mood from that. And other people voluntarily turn into the death metal station. Kill my landlord. And they get a particular mood from that. So you make that choice, but if you stay tuned into that station, you're going to act accordingly. You see? This is how the modes of nature work. So Krishna is telling us in the Bhagavad Gita, and his representative comes and points out to us, this is what's going on. Wake up. Tune into the right station. Tune into the Hare Krishna transcendental station. Just like we have in Utah. We have our transcendental Hare Krishna station there. That's what you should tune into constantly. Don't stop. Because if you lend your ear to the materialistic vibrations that come from the, whether it's, you know, mode of goodness or mode of passion or mode of ignorance station, you're going to remain stuck in this material world. You're forming a particular mentality that is very difficult to get out of. So Lord Krishna came and gave us the Bhagavad Gita with all the insights into his modes of nature and what he wants us to do. But we didn't listen, Prabhupada said. Foolishly we say, who are you to tell me what to do? Ah, you want me to surrender? That's intolerable. Just like today, they started peace talks. And as everybody knows, the Russians are going to demand the Ukrainians surrender. And they're not going to surrender. Everybody's glorifying their president for not running away. And it's actually glorious that he didn't run away. The Americans told him, we can take you out. No, I'm going to stay and fight. That's what, you know, leaders are supposed to do. Not stay in your comfortable office and comfortable home and send young men to die. You know, meanwhile you're sipping whatever. That's not leadership. But that's what leaders are now, like nowadays, practically every country. So everybody's commending this guy, Yelensky, for staying with his countrymen and fighting. This is good. But that doesn't mean that everything that he does is good. One of the reasons why this war is happening, we know, is because people influenced by the modes of nature, they engage in sinful activities. And those reactions have to come back. They have to come back. They come home to roost in the form of wars, pestilence, famine. This is what happens. And they don't understand that. They don't understand that. So this is what preaching means. Preaching means going out into the public and making them aware that the solution is there. The answers are there. You just have to take them. Read Bhagavad Gita as it is. Implement it in your life. Take to the Yuga Dharma. Chant Hare Krishna. Every book that we distribute every day, that's the message. Read Bhagavad Gita. Chant Hare Krishna. So if you can give it to somebody directly, personally, fine. But best Prabhupada said is, what's the use of your 3 minutes preaching? Give them a book. If they can leave with a book, even they put it on the bookshelf and don't look at it for years, it will have its effect. When I was traveling through part of the former Soviet Union, it was in Armenia, Yerevan. So there was one devotee there, true story. This is how he became a devotee. He was a big businessman doing all kinds of business. And he was approached by a devotee on the street, gave a Bhagavad Gita, and just to get rid of him, he gave some money and took the book. Gave him whatever the currency was at the time, rubles, whatever, gave him some money, took the book back to his office and put it on the shelf. Never looked at it. So one day he's doing business as usual, and the phone call comes. His wife and daughter died in a car accident. So he was completely distraught. I mean, this is what most men work hard for, to make the wife and daughter happy, wife and son happy, right? Work hard. That's the motivation. Prabhupada even said, he learned that in economics in his college, that the motivating force for economic development is family life. Most people who don't have family, they don't care. They work, they don't work. Sometimes they work. Most of the time they hang out on the internet. They don't care. But if you have a wife and children, that's a motivating force. So this guy, his life was devastated. He bought this Bhagavad Gita, put it on the shelf, never looked at it. Now the devastating news came. His wife and daughter died in a car accident. What to do? He's looking around and his eye fell on the Bhagavad Gita. So he starts reading. It's making more and more sense. And he goes looking for the devotees and he becomes a devotee. So we shouldn't think that these books won't have their effect. They will. Don't worry. Prabhupada said, you don't worry. Leave it up to Krishna. Your job is simply to go out, like these soldiers, their job is to go out and fight. And this is what really props up the Soviet Union, is that they're, for the most part, their army is very loyal. So if the order comes down, go to such place and fight, go, throw a bomb on that, they do it. No question. So we're supposed to like that also. No question. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, go out in the public and distribute books. Chant on the streets. We do it. In the beginning, we were getting arrested. In New York, in London, devotees were getting arrested every time the chanting party went out. Prabhupada said, don't be sorry. What do we do? Wherever we are. So you're in jail. Chant Hare Krishna. They'll get tired of arresting you. And sure enough, they did. Because these people just don't give up. They come out and chant. We arrest them. They even beat them up sometimes. And still they come back and chant. So they just, they gave up. Even in a country like the Soviet Union, where it's practically illegal, at any moment they can turn around and burn down the devotees. Still the devotees will go out and chant. You see? And it's that determination that expands the Krishna consciousness movement. Not any one of our individual ability. It's a collective determination to keep following Srila Prabhupada's recommendation. There was once in Hawaii, devotees would go out and chant in Honolulu. And one day one old lady came up and gave money and took it back to Garden. So the devotees had noticed that they've seen her before and said, yes, and why? Because she never before interacted with them. She said, you want to know why? Because I see that no matter what the weather, you people come out here. You're so determined. Rain or shine, you come out and you chant and you do your thing. So I commend that. So this is what we need. Firm determination, because we never know. We're thinking everything is hunky-dory, but this, you know, Putin is threatening the nuclear weapon already. And we shouldn't think that it won't happen. It could happen. It could happen. Devotees asked Prabhupada, will there be a nuclear war? And Prabhupada said, it's possible. But if you continue to spread this Krishna consciousness movement, that's the only hope. So we have no guarantees. These people are mad. It's one of the enemies of the living entity in conditioned life. There are six enemies. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. Because if you don't protect yourself by tuning into the right radio station, the right transcendental station, gradually, even the person in the mode of goodness becomes affected by passion and ignorance, and they descend into madness. This Putin, he's about our age. He's 70 years old. 70. I'll be 70 in October. Some of my godbrothers are already past 70. What to speak of Maharaj. So at 70 years old, this person is trying to hold the world hostage. Not just Ukraine. I have 6,000 nuclear bombs. You see? This is his contribution, his legacy. He wants to hold the world hostage with nuclear weapons. Again, not knowing that he's also going to die. He cannot prevent his own death. So Prabhupada said, what is the credit if you kill somebody? They're all destined to die anyway. Credit is if you can save them from death. What is your credit? Since time immemorial, people have been killing each other with spears, with arrows, with clubs, whatever. So if you kill a whole bunch of people with a nuclear bomb, what is your credit? They're all going to die anyway. If you want real credit, try to save them. First of all, try to save yourself. So that's why I wrote online, no, you're wrong. Mr. Putin is not invulnerable. He's going to die like everybody else. The person never wrote back. Because it's obvious. There's nobody here that's invulnerable. Everybody is destined to die. So don't take shelter of the so-called strong leaders of the world. They have no strength. They can't save themselves. This is real strength. Save yourself first. Then you can save others. Just like when you fly in an airplane, they say, first of all, put on your own oxygen mask. Then you can see, tend to other people. So first of all, save yourself. They can't do that. So we're taking shelter of Krishna, who is here being discussed about his Dwarka Lila, beautiful smile. And we should meditate on that beautiful smile. Krishna consciousness means remembering Krishna at every moment, whether times are good or bad, unhappy or sad, as the song says. Whatever condition you're in, take shelter of Krishna. Remember Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Nothing but Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, so there's a nice verse I'll wrap up. How to remember Krishna. Madaram, it's very easy to remember. Everybody can remember this. You've heard it before. Madaram, Madaram, Bapu Asavibo. Madaram, Madaram, Badanam, Madaram. Madugandhi, Smritu, Etam, Etadaho. Madaram, 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 Madaram. The word Madaram. Just remember that. You can remember the rest of it. So Madaram, Madaram, Bapu Asavibo. Krishna's Bapu, his form, is sweet. Madaram, Madaram. Two times sweet. Madaram, Badanam, Madaram, Madaram, Badanam, Madaram. His face is very sweet. Madhu Gandhi Madhu Smita, the same word in today's verse. Etarehao. Badaram, Madaram, Madaram. But his smile is four times sweet. So the form, two times sweet. The face, three times sweet. And the smile on that face, four times sweet. Jai. Rantarashimir Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
I love Sean Ross.